You're listening to the Tree of Life podcast, where we desire to be a bridge between the two covenantal peoples, physical Israel and spiritual Israel, by inspiring the non-Jewish part of Messiah's body to reconnect with its Jewish roots through biblical teaching and worshipful demonstrations, and to work toward greater understanding and reconciliation between Messiah's body and traditional Judaism. And now, here's Reverend Earl Clampett.
Good to be back. I have to give you a little background story. I used to, when I would preach way back when I was here in the early days, I always had Elder Al Cooper to do all the beginning stuff, like the, you know, the Jewish prayers and, you know, over the kids and this and that. So I always say, Al, what's next? And so he'd, you know, he'd come in and really, you know, get me out of trouble. And so when John, I was supposed to preach on the third, but I got COVID. And so John filled in, did a great job, an amazing job. I watched it. And anyway, but he said, you know, I'm at this MC stuff. I'm a goy. I don't know all the Jewish stuff, this and that. So he said, that's on you if you get a chance to preach this Shabbat. And I said, okay, fine, no problem. But I'm thinking, what do I do? You know, Al is with the Lord, right? Now what? And so, Rabbi called me. You knew I was having some health issues, and he said, you feeling up for this? And I said, yeah, Lord willing, we'll make it happen. And so I said, oh, no, I said, I'm watching some old videos of you on the preliminary Hebrew and Jewish things that need to be done. And he said, oh, don't worry about that. He said, John will take care of it. Now, I had an opportunity to say, oh, that's okay, I'll do it. But I didn't. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, what should I say? And I just heard silence, just this iron curtain. So I didn't say anything. I said, John's going to do it. He'll find out on Tuesday night, right? Anyway, there you go. And so we had a follow-up phone call, and he said, I said, what's mean? He said, you throw your friend under the bus. And I said, John, you were not thrown under the bus. You were thrown onto the bus, because I don't know what to do. So welcome. Anyway, it's all in good fun, all in good fun. So it's good to be back. Thank you for your prayers. You know, Scripture says prayer changes things. It does. And I'm telling you, when you're physically down and out and people say, hey, we're praying for you, you can literally feel the prayers. And so believe me, Vilma and I are grateful. You know, we both got slammed with COVID in late June and early July. And then, you know, I'm battling cancer on top of that. And I'm saying, oh, great. Okay, Lord, bring it on. You know, like, really? And the Lord did a miracle. I'm not going to share it with you today because it's kind of a long story. But my wife had a miracle done in this COVID struggle. And only God could have done it. Okay? So if you're interested, we'll share it later or maybe, you know, when we have some more time. But I want to just let you know that even though the system fails you and people fail you who are supposed to come through, don't worry. You know, what we heard this morning from that prophecy, it's true. He hears your every cry. He really does. And he will not abandon you. And he is there. So praise God. All right. So this morning, I asked the Lord, what are we going to be doing? And he said, you know, I don't think my people understand the rules of the game. And I said, excuse me? He says, I don't think my people know the rules of the game. We have situations where We live in an unbelievable world. It's very different from the last time I was up here preaching. The last time I was up here preaching was like 2 years ago. So that was pre-COVID, you know, pre all the stuff going on. And I said, okay, what does that mean? And he said, we need to go over some basics. And I said, okay, fine, we'll do it. I can't find my glasses. Okay. Huh? There it. Ah. This is why God provides. Listen, yeah, it's oh my gosh, 47 years worth, okay? She is a godsend. And people say, 47 years? And they say, was it a California wedding? And I said, yes. And they said, wow, California weddings last about 47 minutes. So, wow, 47 years. God bless you. Okay. So, yeah, my wife is amazing. So, we're going to say a little prayer, and we're just going to ask the Lord to help us in this journey this morning, because we're going to learn the rules of the game. So, Father, we just come right now. We thank you for your daily blessings, moment by moment. We thank you for the Craigs who share heartfelt prayer at a moment. And I bless you, Craig. The Neils, I bless them that they came in, they stepped in the gap for us. I mean, there are people here who are not acquaintances, they are family. And it transcends friendship. And I thank you for this congregation. It's so special. It's so unique. It's very, very, very one of a kind. And Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask that you would send your Ruach HaKodesh. We ask this in Yeshua's name, that we would sense your presence, that you would guide this teaching, and we would all be able to have eyes and ears to hear what you have to say to us this morning that you have given us. And we ask all these things, Adonai, in Yeshua's name. And everyone said, amen. And I forgot to say Shabbat Shalom. I'm sorry. Shabbat Shalom. There you go. Baruch Hashem, Yeshua HaMashiach. Okay, here we go. So when we set out on a journey, oftentimes, you know, our Judeo-Christian walk is described as a journey. And we have all these examples of, you know, the Jews leaving Egypt and all the symbolism that goes along with that. But it's a journey. And so the question that I have is, what if you were to set out on a journey and you didn't understand what the goal was? You didn't understand what the objective was. You didn't understand what the target was. You didn't understand what the destination was. And if you explain that to somebody and say, I've set out on this journey, it seems like a wonderful journey. And then people would say, well, what would be the natural question they would ask you? Well, where are you going? To whom are you headed? What's laying in front of you? And if you say, well, this is what I've been taught. I'm not quite sure, but... And this, I don't know if you guys know this, but I worked in the jails for 10 years as a jail chaplain with the San Diego County Sheriff Department. And I was the Spanish-speaking chaplain on Sunday evenings. And I grew up Catholic. I had 16 years of formal Catholic education. Okay, so I got all the way through college. Okay, and then at the end of law school, I became a born-again believer. Baptist brother of mine got me involved. So I became a Protestant. So I've been a Protestant for 44 years. And then when people say, where do you go to church? I go at a Tree of Life Messianic Congregation. And then they go, you ever seen a dog that has a funny sound and the dog kind of goes like this and they turn their head like that? I get a lot of the head turning. And they go, oh. And that oh is very elongated because they don't know what to say next. So usually the next word is, that's interesting. What about the Padres this year? They just want to change the subject, okay? And so it's kind of an interesting transition when you go from Catholicism to Protestantism to Messianic Jewish experience. And what God is doing now, I think he's blending, but he's also not just blending, he's shaking things out. He really is, because he's got to get down to say, hey, all I want you guys to do is to preach the truth of what's in here. Okay? And truth is a person. Yeshua told us in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, right? No one, and this is what I would trick the inmates every week. I'd always say this really fast. I'd say, no one gets to heaven but by me. Now, they're all have their little New Testament Bibles, and they're reading John 14:6, and their nose is 6 inches from the page, and they're like, and they look like the Jews at the Wailing Wall, and they're going, yep, that's what it says. No one gets to heaven but by me. Yep, that's what it says. No one gets to heaven but by me. And I'm going, you're looking at the verse. You're looking at it. You know how John was talking about how the Taliban couldn't see because they were probably spiritually blinded? I mean, that's the same thing that the angels did when you look back at the whole Lot going into Sodom. Remember that? And those angels just blinded people. They did. Those are weapons. They work. Okay? Well, these guys are blinded, and they're going like this. I said, guys, what does it say? No one gets to, does it say heaven? Thank you. Okay, good. Well, you're cheating. You need to go out and work security in the front, okay? So you can't come back. Okay, so the realization is, well, what difference does it make? What difference does it make if the target or the objective or the goal of the Judeo-Christian journey is a place versus coming into contact and relationship with your father? Whoa. Because I had an inmate ask me that one time. Well, what difference does it make, chaplain? What's the big deal? Come on. And I said, well, let me ask you, Mr. Inmate. Would you live your life any differently if, when you had the gospel explained to you, that it was defined up front what the rules of the game were? The rules of the game. You got to know the objective. You got to know the target. Got to know the goal. Would you live your life any differently if you knew that everything you said and did in this life is going to be analyzed and ultimately judged by a person called Father God? Versus going to the Billy Graham crusade and checking the four boxes, four spiritual laws. Yes, I believe this and this and this mentally. I believe it in my mind. I agree with the facts. And then I get a little ticket. And it says, you got a ticket to ride. You're going to heaven. Would it make any difference in how you live your life when you get out of this jail? If you knew what the target was. And you could hear a pin drop in that place. And you saw a lot of Adam's apples going up and down because people were swallowing, going, goop, goop. I just thought it was a ticket to heaven. That's what I was told. Add water and shake. Boom, done. Jesus did it all. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to engage. I don't have to know relationally any deeper God. I don't have to do any of that. And then he said, you know what? I would live differently. I said, pray tell, why? You got 45 inmates in this multipurpose room. You tell them why you would live differently if you knew what the real objective was in this word. And he said, well, if the goal or the target is knowing relationally God as a person called Father, that's what Jesus said. No one gets to the Father but through me. Well, then I'd live my life a whole lot differently. Oh, really? Why? Tell everybody here. Why would you live differently? Because if I just have to go to a place and I got a ticket, I can sit in the stands at the stadium and I don't have to do anything. I can be complacent. I can be just an observer. I don't have to participate and go out on the field. He said, I better reevaluate this because you're explaining the rules of the game to me. Okay, so there are verses where Jesus tells people in John chapter 8, and he says, let's go to part one. We're going to start going down that list. And let's go to 1 John 4, 9, if we could. Let's see if Jesus ever defined the goal or told us what the target was or the objective. Let's see what Yeshua said. Okay, so this is how God showed his love amongst us. God sent his only son into the world, okay, so that through him we might have what? Okay, life. As a Catholic, you know what I was taught life was? As a Catholic, 16 years of formal education, grammar school, 4 years of high school, 4 years of college. Life was when you die, you get to go to a place in the ethereal world. And I'm not anti-heaven. Please don't think that I'm anti-heaven. Look, when I die, I want to go to heaven, okay? Let's just establish that up front. But that's what we were taught. The goal and the destination is to get to that place by any means possible, okay? So eternal life meant going to a place called heaven. If you went to heaven, you had what we just saw on the board. You had eternal life, okay? Go to the next one, guys. I'm going to show you a whole bunch of verses. So we're going to go through 1 John 5:11. We're going to go through his pretty fast. And this is the witness God has given us eternal life, and this life is in heaven. Excuse me? What? I didn't bring my Catholic Bible today. You're telling me that I was instructed incorrectly. Really? You're rocking my boat. Remember what we said, that what the title of this sermon was? The rules of the game. Maybe we didn't learn the rules of the game. Let's go to the next one. John 17:3. Okay. You know what? This is there are probably two places where this is defined, eternal life. Would you please take a really, really close look at this? This might blow your mind, especially if you grew up in a Platonic, Greek-like, either Catholic world or Protestant world. But it certainly wasn't Jewish. Okay, so this is one of the key verses where it's actually explained what it is. Okay. And eternal life is this, to know you. Now, does it say know about you, or is the about missing? Know about me? Oh, I know all about God. I took Bible history, okay, and I might have had a whole lot of theology courses, but I know about God. I can give you the history of the Christian church and the history of the journey of the Hebrews. I can give it to you all. But is that really what it says? It says to know you, the one true God, and him whom you sent, Yeshua, the Messiah. Do you think this is, this is the night before he dies, and he's talking to his apostles. This is the Last Supper. And he's trying to make sure that they understand because he's leaving. Don't forget this, you guys. You've been with me for 3.5 years. Every moment of the day. We've chatted. We've talked. We've exchanged ideas. We've hung around. I've taught you. You've learned. I've sent you out to try and do experiments. First the 12 and then later the 70. And you came back and you go, whoa, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Yeah. Because I'm going to teach you not only about relationship, but I'm going to teach you about kingdom, which is government. It's not a place. It can be a place, but most of the time in this, it's talking about kingdom means kingship. Kingdom means rulership. Who rules this earth? Okay? All right, so eternal life is not knowing about mentally about facts, but relationally knowing. What does that mean? How many people have ever dated someone, or you were courting, or you before you got married and married? What did you think about on that person on the other end of that relationship? Did you think about them once every 2 days? Were you obsessed with them, like day and night? Guess who's obsessed about his children? Okay? And guess who wants that same level of obsession in the return? Because it's a two-way street. Every relationship is. Okay? We're not there. I'm not there. Maybe some of you are, but I'm still working on this stuff. But, you know, I'm at least learning the rules of the game to say, okay, well, now that I know the rules of the game and the objective, if I practice this, it's going to become like a skill set, kind of like riding a two-wheel bike. Were you perfect, you know, when they took off the training wheels in the back? You know, did you fall over a few times? Okay. The enemy will try to discourage you and say, oh, there you go again. You know, you're off in your own thought world. You haven't thought about God for the last 5 hours. Yeah, but, you know, if you thought about God 28 times today versus 27 times yesterday, that's growth. That's maturity. That's moving on the journey. So you tell the enemy, the adversary, the accuser of the brethren, in Jesus' name, shut up. Okay? And he will, because you just said the truth. You're growing. You're changing. All right, let's go to the next one. Oh, now here's one that'll clean out a church. If you want a church reduction program, here's the verse you use, okay? If you have too many people in your church, okay. This is John 12, 49 through 50. Now, can we go to John? There it is. Okay. For I have not spoken on my own initiative, but the Father who sent me has given me a command, namely, what and how to say it. Okay, we got 50 there? There it is. And I know that his this is what cleans out the church. And I know that his command is what? I'm going to show you some verses that say, do you want life? Then obey. Why is that important? Because obedience, I don't have a tape, I have all kinds of props, but I didn't bring a tape measure. Obedience is like a tape measure of, it's like a measuring rod of the quality of relationship. If you want to, how am I doing with the Lord? Okay? He knows how to measure it. Now, is that legalism? No, he's just saying, remember Jesus said in Luke, I forget where it was, but he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you never do what I say? Remember that? It's in Luke. It's one of the Gospels. I don't have it on my list. But you know, he just asked the question. Please don't call me Lord. Give me another name. Hey, you. But I'm certainly not your Lord. Okay? All right, let's go on to the next one. So that's the measuring rod. Are we listening and actually doing what he wants? I think it's John 14:21, 14:23. I don't think I have that on the list. If you love me, you will keep my... Ugh. Really? Hey, you know what I know? We want something. Here's something funny. When I was in Bible school, I had a teacher. We were studying the two letters on Corinthians, and I noticed that we had a female teacher who was in a doctorate program at USC, but she was in theology. And I had a lot of questions because what she was teaching me in Corinthians didn't line up with what Yeshua taught in the Gospels. And so I just kind of raised my hand and I said, it sounds like these are two different religions. By the way, Paul wasn't a goy. He was a rabbi. And didn't he study under Gamaliel? I mean, this guy knew his stuff. But I said, it sounds like you're teaching two different religions. And so I got... Oh, my boy, come here. Come up here, and then I'm going to pat you on the head. Now, I was one of about 30 pastors. We were all trying to get our bachelor's degree, and they were all pastors. I was the only non-pastor. And she said, this is how you keep it simple. Anything that Paul taught post-cross, post-crucifixion, was for the Gentiles. Anything that Jesus taught in the four Gospels pre-cross, before the cross, was for the Jews. Oh, I get it. Thank you so much for clarifying that. So we had a dinner. We had a lunch break. These classes were long, 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. So we gave us a dinner break. And I went to dinner after, you know, we were breaking for the class, and I'm sitting there with nine guys at the dinner table, and I'm saying, excuse me, did anyone hear what she just said? You guys okay with that? Now, these guys are all pastors. And they said, yeah, we're okay with that. And I'm going, oh. I said, okay, there's a Home Depot that's right across the street from the school. I'm going to go to the Home Depot after we finish dinner, before we get back to class, and I'm going to go to this tool section. I'm going to buy an X-Acto knife. You guys know what an X-Acto knife is? You know, the little blade that comes out and it's really sharp? And I'm going to take this and I'm going to cut out the four Gospels out of this Bible. And they looked at me and they said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, based on what she just said, I'm not Jewish. And I'm supposed to take four classes about the Synoptic and Gospels and Gospel of John. That's four classes, and they don't apply to me because I'm a Gentile. It was only for the Jews. And I said, you know what else, you guys? I'm going to graduate a semester before all of you because I don't have to take four classes that you guys have to take. Okay? Really? That's what is taught. I'm not making this up. Okay, so we really don't know the rules of the game. It's amazing. You go up to people and you say, do you know Yeshua? Do you know Jesus was a Jew? You know, remember I talked about the dog with the funny and the crook, you know? Seriously, they go, what? Oh, well, yeah, I guess he was. You think? Remember that Matthew 5? Hey, I didn't come to do away with the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe we ought to learn the law and the prophets. You think? Maybe we ought to say this is one book and not divide it into two. Okay. So let's go to the next one. Oh. So how do you prove that you love Jesus? If you love me, you'll keep my... Thank you. And that, by the way, that counts for the stuff that you don't want to do. Okay. 1 Timothy 6:12. Can we go to the next one on the list? Fight the good fight of faith. This is Paul now. This is Paul only talking to Gentiles, according to my teacher. I'm kidding. He's not, okay? Paul was Jewish. He was a rabbi, okay? Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life, of the eternal life, to which you were called when you testified so well to your faith before many witnesses. Go back, please, to the other one. Now, see where it says take hold? In the New King James, it uses a word lay hold. Take hold, CJB, New King James, take lay hold. When you lay hold of something, okay, what does that look like physically? Let's say I'm going to fall, and somebody's standing right here in front of me, and I don't want to fall off the stage. And that person's my barrier. What would I be doing with my hand as a claw if I didn't want to fall off this stage? I would, lay hold. Would that person know that he'd just been grabbed? If I'm trying to prevent a fall, would he know? Yeah, it's like, I need to be saved because I'm going to fall. You're preventing me from damage, from harm. Lay hold of it. That's the obsession thing we talked about a little bit earlier. God's asking us, are you as obsessed over getting to know me relationally, hanging out, spending time, investing yourself as I am in you? Lay hold. So how do you lay hold if I was taught you when you die and go to heaven, you just go to heaven? Are you laying hold of anything? I just got a ticket. Either I get in or I don't. You see the difference? Lay hold, because what did it say? Eternal, and this is eternal life, John 17:3, that they may know you, the one true God, and Yeshua HaMashiach, the Son whom you sent. Know. Heart, know. Relational, know. Emotional, know. Spiritual, not know about. That means we got to spend our time and our effort. Well, you're trying to save yourself by works. No, I'm trying to define what the goal is. And we're going to see some examples of people who said, Jesus, Yeshua, we did all these things in your name. And they're bragging about it. And he says, that's nice, but why don't you depart from me, because I never knew you. Remember when they came up and they said, oh, your mother and your brothers are outside and they want to see you. And he asked the question, well, who are my mothers and my brothers? You remember that? Family. Who's family? Right? Relational. Right? And then he answers his own question. He or she who does the will. Ooh, there's that obedience thing. Remember, if you love me, keep my commandments. Remember that? Okay. He or she who does the will of my... That's whose family. Are we starting to get it now, what the objective is? It's not what we were taught as Protestants. It's not what we were taught as Catholics. Okay? All right, next one. Bingo. And you explained that to me earlier, so I appreciate you bringing that up. Okay, let's look at the Moses farewell. This is in Deuteronomy 30. We're going to go from 15 to 16. Now, look what Moses said. Ask yourself when you read these. Okay, this is his farewell speech. Okay, before he's not going to the promised land. God's already told him he's not going. But the Joshua and Caleb families, they're going. The new generations, they're going. So this is the last speech, and it's really important. Okay, so. Look, I am presenting you today, on the one hand, now did he say heaven or hell? No, he said life and good, and on the other, what? Death and evil. We're going to see that pattern come up over and over again. Life is contrasted with death, and good is contrasted with evil. But there's not a lot of talk about heaven and hell. In fact, there's none. Does that mean heaven and hell don't exist? No, of course they exist. I'm trying to say what the goal is. What's the target of our journey? Okay? All right, let's go to the next one. In that I am ordering you today to love Adonai, your God. Oh, there's something relational. Does that sound like life? We were just told. How do you get life? Okay? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm ordering you today to love Adonai, your God, to follow his ways, and to, that's the other part of clearing out the church. And to obey his mitzvot. That's the plural for mitzvah, right? I'm saying that right? Okay, singular, this is the plural. Keep his commandments. That's the measuring rod. Do you really love me? How come you never do what I ask you to do? You remember what Jesus said in John 15? If you, listen to this, if you want to be my friend, what? Do what I say. You know that song? I used to hear it all the time because I'm a Foursquare guy. And they were saying, I am a friend of God. Da, 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 da. I am a friend of God. You know what I would say under my breath? If you obey me. They didn't include that in the words. I wonder why. Okay. Next one. Let's see. Did we do 19 and 20? On that? Let's do that one. Rulings, for if you do, you will live. Here, if you obey, for if you do, you will live. You will what? Live. What are we after? Life. Okay, you will live, and your numbers will go up, increase. Okay, and Adonai, your God, will bless you, and the land you are, go to the next, entering in order to take possession of it. Okay. This is not on the list. I want to just read this to you really quickly. You see about the reference on land, I'm going to take a little detour here. And I think it's Psalms 115. I didn't include this, but I think the Lord's saying, show him something here. Psalms 115. That's 19. Here it goes. It is. I was right. This should be easy to remember. Psalm is 115, but the verse is 16, so that's an easy one to remember. 115, next one 16. Okay, so leave that last one up there about the land. Could you put that back up, David, about entering the land? This is another objective, you guys. This is another target. It is another destination. It is another goal. Could you put that back up, Dave? David? Oh, David. Okay, I want to go to the land. Here you are. God will bless you in the land that you are going entering, okay? In this Psalm 115, verse 16, heaven belongs to Adonai, okay? You ready for the next one? Put on your seatbelt. Oh, you guys, how'd you do that? Didn't even include that. You guys are amazing. Add water and shake. Come on. Let's hear for the sound crew back there. Wow. Thank you, guys. But the earth... He is given to angels.
No.
Oh, come on. Wait, I'm sorry. The earth he has given to fallen angels.
No.
What?
Children of
what?
Men.
Well, Satan thinks he has a right to this earth. Is he wrong?
Yes.
Well, maybe he needs some education.
Yes.
You guys... Heaven is a way station. The resurrection is so you get your human body back. Yeshua was a first fruits, and he was telling us, everything that happened to me is going to happen to you. Why? Because you don't need a human body to live in the ethereal heavenly world. I'm not criticizing heaven. Heaven must be wonderful. Do I want to go there after I die? Of course I do. I don't want to stay there. I want to come back to where I came from. What do you mean, came from? When God took a hunk of dirt in Genesis, right? And he made man, what did he do to that dirt? He breathed on it, right? Hey, I'm a surfer. I love God's creation, even in its fallen state. If you guys are a mountain climber, you go to the top mountain, you're going, this is great. Well, look at this view. And God's saying, don't you realize, Yeshua is saying, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, which includes terra firma. It's ours. That's another thing that we've been convinced of. This place is a lost cause. You know, you got Afghanistan this month, and the place is a mess. I just want to go die, be in heaven, and forget it. And Satan's celebrating. Yes! They gave up on their inheritance. It's our inheritance. That's the next goal. We'll see it. Okay, moving right along. I think okay, you know what? We're going to go on to the next part. Let's go to the, because see, everybody's face is kind of churning like the doggies listening to the song. Like, what? Earth is our inheritance? Actually, it is. Okay, can we go to the PowerPoint? By the way, I want to give credit where credit's due. Thank God for the John Neals of this world, because there's no way that I could put together a PowerPoint. Okay? I can argue cases in front of courts, but I can make rulings as the court. I cannot make a PowerPoint. And John, thank God, he was a real estate guy 150 years ago, and he learned this old skill. You know, he has many skills. This man can sculpture, but he can also do a PowerPoint when there's an emergency, and I'm screaming, going, John, I need something. And he says, I'll fix it. Don't worry. Settle down. We got you. Okay. So God to mankind, Genesis 1:26-31. This is where the goal is mentioned for the first time. Okay, let's go. John 1:26-31. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, in the likeness of ourselves. Let's stop right there. There's two different things there. There's image and there's likeness. Likeness, look, you guys watching now, pay attention. This is vertical, right? Image is what happens after you receive God's likeness on a download. I mean, literally a download. And you sit there, and what happened in the worship this morning? Did you guys feel the presence of the Lord? Woo! Come on. Thank you, April. You wonder why worship leaders are attacked all the time, because when they do usher in the presence, the enemy is not happy. Okay, so the likeness of God is when we go like this, and we're in a worship service, and you hold your head back, and you open your arms, and you say, okay, Lord, bring your likeness from you down, not only on me, but inside of me. Okay, all right. So that's the likeness part. And then the other part is when that happens, you can't stay the same, even if you wanted to. Okay. And so what happens is you start to change. And people who haven't seen you in 2 years are going, dude, didn't you used to cuss like a sailor? Yeah, you used to spit on my shoes all the time and, you know, and criticize everything. And now you're positive and you're just an effervescent person, bubbly. And you just reek God. And that's the image part. The image isn't this motion. It's horizontal and it goes out to other people. That's the kingdom of God. God in us, we in God, okay, reaching out. This is the image. And reflecting that image to other people. That's, you know what? That's your vocation. Oh, I just thought I had to do that on Sunday morning or Shabbat. No. It actually begins Monday morning when you go to work and goes all the way through Friday night, because your vocation is just that. It's not a part-time job. Oh, what is this? This really will be a reduction program. Joel's going to come back here next week and have 5 people left. This guy was talking about we have to actually give of ourselves. Yes, you do. But you will be the beneficiary. It's going to blow your socks off and blow your mind. Okay? How about more of what we felt during worship today? You ready for that? I want more of that. You get a little taste of that, you're going, come on. Come on, fill us up, Lord. Fill this bottle up to overflowing. And guess what? We control the cap. Have you ever noticed that? When God wants to start to do his outflow and stuff, we're going, ooh, whoa, 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 it's getting a little heavy. Oh, it's starting to overflow. Whoa, hold it, God, hold it. I need to step back and turn the spigot off. Oh, thank you very much. We do that a lot. And God's frustrated. I have so much more to show you. I have so much more to give you. Why are you limiting yourself? See, this life thing, this eternal life thing, the presence of God and knowing him, is measurable. You can actually measure it. Isn't that cool? You have a little bit of life today, but tomorrow, if you hang out with God, this thing's overflowing, and you got a lot of life today. Guess who the overflow's for? Everyone else. That's the image thing that's going out horizontally. Okay? Now you're doing your job vocationally. Okay? All right. All right. So let's go back to the next. I want to go back to Genesis 1:26. Okay, let's make it. Okay, let's go to the next one. Oh, what do you mean he gave us earth? The fallen angels are supposed to have earth. Look how messed up the world is. Look at Afghanistan, right? And let them, what? Are they talking about the angels? Who are they talking about? Wow. This was the beginning? This was the blueprint? This was the paradigm? You kidding me? I wasn't taught this stuff. I just read it to you in Psalms 115. Heaven is God's. Earth belongs to his children. And the angels ain't his children. We're his children. He's our father. Okay? And let them rule. Okay. By the way, is it a limited rule? Let's see how limited it is. Only certain fish, only a few birds, only an occasional animal or two, and only part of the earth. Is that what it says? Well, that's what the enemy wants us to think. Go on to the next line, please. And over every crawling, why would you want to do crawling creatures? Anyway, that crawls over the earth. Okay, next one. So God created humankind in his own image, in the image of God he had created them, and male and female. I thought there were 32 genders, but I guess not. Okay, male and female rule over the fish of the sea. Oh, no, wait, go back. Where does it say male and female? Yeah, he created them. Next line, 128, please. 128, okay. God blessed them. God said to them, here it is, be fruitful, multiply, fill the heavens. Fill the heavens, right? Fill the heavens. No? Oh, fill the earth. And subdue it. That means have dominion. That means kingdom. Kingdom means kingship. Kingdom means rulership. Who's running this place? And God's saying, I trust you, my children, implicitly. What? Do you know that Jesus, when he came back to earth, I think we did a study one time, and he's referred to the Son of God in the four Gospels about 11 or 12 times. Guess how many times Jesus is referred to, ready, as the Son of Man? Anybody want to guess? Do you think it's more than 12 times, or do you think it's less than 12 times? His other title, other than Son of God, is also Son of Man. How many do you think, more or less? More. Because why? God's trying to send a message to the rebellious angels. No, you are not going to rule the earth. These opportunities and gifts and inheritance, I bequeath them to my human children, and they're running the show. And we need to get serious about this, because we don't even know the goal. We don't know the objective. We don't know what the target is. And it changes everything. It changes everything. Okay, go on to the next one. Next slide. We're moving and grooving here. Okay, God blessed them, said to them, be fruitful, multiply, go. Okay, keep going, 129. Okay, more stuff, go to 129. Then God said, here throughout the whole earth, I'm giving you as food, every seed, go on to 130. Okay, go to 131 now. Oh, and God saw everything that he made, and indeed, it was very, very bad. Well, that's what Satan wants you to think, because heaven's better. We want to die and go to heaven. That's the goal, right? Earth is worthless. It's a lost cause, especially after all the things that we saw in Afghanistan on the television this week. right? And Satan is going, hallelujah, they're leaving, they're flying out of here, and we get the earth. I'm going to share something with you out of this book. By the way, we want you to take one of these books with you today. And it's a kingdom calling book. There were four of us writing this thing, and Jews and Gentiles together. So this was a one new man project. And it's called Kingdom Calling, a field manual for believers. Field manuals are for people who are entering into warfare. And what you find out today with people, they go, we don't know what to do next. And that's why we wrote this. This is a field manual to tell you, this is what you do next. Here's the thing. You're going to find a little card in this book. Once you get the book, we have a discount from the publisher until October 31st. And he says, if you will flip this book and give it to five people, I'll sell you, this is the publisher now in Pennsylvania, I will sell you this for less than cost. Now, what we're doing is we're giving one of these out to everybody today, and I'm giving this out to every person of every church I run across, and I'm going, this was written not by me, not by these other guys, but by God for this moment. People are absolutely frozen in fear. They don't know what to do. We got plagues. We got pestilences. We're losing our country. The wheels are coming off the car on our country, right? And God says, oh, by the way, guess who the first endorser was? Do you guys know anyone by the name of Alveda King, niece of Martin Luther King? You know why she signed this? Because Satan is trying to destroy this country by dividing us along every imaginable category that he can think of. Let's see. I'll divide them by gender. Oh, tomorrow I'll divide them by sex. Oh, tomorrow I'll divide them by race. Oh, tomorrow I'll divide them by ethnicity. Oh, tomorrow I'll divide them by heritage. He doesn't care. And what we're saying is God the Father comes up with a plan in our worst moment and says, I have a plan to unite everybody. You know what it is? It's the revelation that the gospel is not all about Jesus. It's the revelation that the gospel is not all about the Holy Spirit. Guess what? We forgot the third element of the Godhead who started all this, who had this great plan. We need to talk about the third element of the Godhead. Who's that? Father. And when you go up to tell somebody, hey, how many prayers did Jesus teach us? And they say, one prayer. And I said, fine. Where was Jesus when he taught us that one prayer? Was he in heaven or was he down here, terra firma, talking to you face to face? He says, down here. And I said, what are the first two words of that prayer? Our what? Okay, wait a minute. Showstopper. Stop. Full stop. Huh? You're Jesus and you're talking to me and you come up to me and you say, our Father. Well, what's that make Jesus to me in a family sense at that moment? What's to me in a family sense? He's my older brother. And he's saying, don't stop at me. You know, it's a circular track. Don't stop one third around and then draw a line in the sand with your cleats like this going, oh, I got Jesus. That's all I need. I got Jesus in heaven. Or you go two thirds and you go like this with the, you know, with a dirt track and you're going, I got the Holy Spirit. I'm a Pentecostal. I don't need to move beyond this. I got the Ruach HaKodesh, right? And here's the third over here where the yellow tape hit the finish line. It's called Come Home to Daddy. Come home to Papa God. We're in a lull right now, but the last month we were in was what? Av. What's Av? It's the month of the Father. And it's a return. You know what? This whole Bible story is no more complex than bringing back a bunch of family members, like prodigal children, back to your dad, back to your father. That's why Alveda King signed this. She goes, yeah, this is rising above all of the fray and the chaos and the frenzy and the division and the vitriol and the hate and the go on and on and on. And it says, no, we all belong to one family because we have a mutual father. How's that for a message? All right. Okay, so we got one of these for you. Please come up and get one at the end. Oh, and get the card, too, and hand it out to five people. Please, have some stake in the game. You mean it's going to cost me $7.50 to buy five of those on my own money, and I have to send it off to some guy in Pennsylvania? Yes. How about double it and make it 10? Have some real stake in the game. $15? Come on. Oh, wow. 25 books, $100. 50 books, $175. 100 books. You buy 100 books, $325. How big is your oikos? You know what your oikos is? It's a Greek word for your circle of influence. I guarantee you, you know people that I don't and I'm never going to meet. You know them. And you say, hey, welcome to the army. Here's the field manual. Let's get busy. Satan's kicking our butt right now, and we need to go on offense. We need to go on offense. I don't know about you, but I don't like losing. Especially to an interloper angel who thinks he's privileged somehow, and he should have been given this privilege of ruling over the earth. No, the earth is ours, okay? You know, the fallen angels really think that God made a stupid decision when he put man in charge, okay? All right, let's go to the next slide. They should have been put in charge. All right. I got to start wrapping it up here soon because we are running out of time. Let's go to the chart that John drew. This is an amazing chart. Okay, I am going to... Did I write down Matthew 7, you guys, in part 3? Do we have that anywhere where it's Matthew 7, 21? Either on John's chart? Yeah. Can we read that first? All right. Put on your seatbelts. I believe that there's going to be a great awakening, third great awakening. I really do. Here's the problem. I think there's going to be a phony one that's going to be parallel and side by side with it. And it's going to test us whether we can really tell the difference, whether God's really in this or not. Okay? So, I'll tell you what. If you really want to close down your church, preach this. Okay? Nobody will come back. All right? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, only those who do my what? That's called thy will be done in the Lord's Prayer. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, what are we saying? May your kingdom come. It doesn't say may your kingdom go up to heaven. It says may your kingdom come. Where's Jesus when he's teaching that? Here. May your kingdom come. We need your government down here. We're a mess. Kingship. We need you to run us and then run everything else. Not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do what my Father wants. Go to the next one. Okay. On that day, many will say to me, here you go, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we expel demons in your name? Now look, if I'm on the outside looking in and I'm watching this going on, I'm going, these guys are the heavy hitters. These guys hit home runs. These guys are on the all-star team in baseball, right? They're doing all this amazing stuff. This is amazing. Okay, go to the next one. Didn't we perform many miracles in your name? You know what that sounds like? Here's my badge, and I'm trying to shine it and saying, God, don't you know who I am? Come on, I'm important. Okay, go to the next one. Then I will tell them to their faces, What did we say eternal life was? And this is eternal life, John 17:3, that they may know you, the one true God, and know the Son whom you sent. Know, not know about, know. What is the worst possible thing that you could be told as I'm a heavy hitter in the charismatic move, right? And I sit in the front row. Don't you know who I am? Come on, God. What is this? No, come on, I mean, seriously, churches have pecking orders, you know that. I mean, it doesn't matter where you go. This is a generalized problem. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just trying to say, guys, this is a warning. When I saw this, I gulped. And I just went, woohoo. Come on. Then I will tell them to their faces, I never knew you. Well, that's bad enough. And then what follows after that? Do you know separation from God is death? You don't even have to be thrown into Gehenna fire. You know the guy that the one on the talents, you know, the one talent, two talents, and the five talents, you know? Well, the guy that buried the talent and got it back, okay, and then he says, you wicked, lazy servant. He wasn't thrown in hell. He wasn't. Where was he taken? Where was he thrown? No, he was not. It was not lake of fire. It was not Gehenna. Where was it? He threw him into a place called outer. That's separation from God. One time, Vilma and I took our kids to Julian, where the abandoned gold mines are. And you sit in these little railroad cars, right? And the ore cars, they call them. And you go back deep, 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 deep into the mountains. And he says, okay, folks, I'm going to give you a warning. I'm going to turn the lights off and show you what the miners felt when there was a cave-in. So they go, click. And I'm going, all I could think of was that verse. This is what outer darkness feels. You guys, it's suffocating. I could not see my hand in front of my face. My daughter was sitting right next to me in the little ore cart. I couldn't see her. She says, Dad, I can't see you. And I said, I can't see you either. Don't worry, honey. They're going to turn it back on. Aren't they? Right now, please, sir. Because he said 30 seconds. It was the longest 30 seconds of my life. But I'll tell you, once you experience that, dude, I mean, all of a sudden, get away from me. I never knew you. You guys, these weren't unsaved people. These weren't. These were supposed believers. Okay, can we go to that chart now, please? Put that erecta set, looks like Legos, something that John drew for me. There you go. Okay. So now that you know the verse, this is the picture to explain the verse. Remember what we said this? What was the name of the sermon? The rules of the game. Okay? Authority. How much authority did God give us in Genesis 1, 26 through 31? Pretty much everything. He just said, hey, there's this one tree. You're not ready to learn about this yet. Just don't go to that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay? But everything else, every bird, every plant, everything... So authority, it's in here. I don't have time to read it. There's a whole chapter on 31 blessings for men. By the way, his wife has a book for women. Anyway, authority, listen to the definition. It's legal permission to do something. That's it. Legal permission to carry out a task. That's it. Okay? Now, power, see the other words on power, is also defined here. A bunch of you guys already have this book, I think, okay, because I handed out a bunch of these. Power is also defined here, which is the capability to accomplish a task, okay? So authority is the legal permission. Power over here is the capability of carrying out the task. You have the tools, you have the resources, you have the weapons, you know, whatever, all right? Now, so man was given all authority over the earth. And the fallen angels didn't like that. Satan had some residual power after he fell. Because, you know, he was the cherubim. You see this. We don't have time, but it just write it down. In Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, those are the two chapters where it talks about his fall. And what his attitude was. He basically rebelled. He was really close to God. Didn't matter. Okay? But he thought, okay, but I want the earth. Now... But man has the authority, which is the legal permission. We saw that in Genesis 1, 26 through 31. We already saw that. So we have the authority. It's like having a badge. Do I have a prop bag and a badge? Let me see. Hold on. Ta-da. Okay. This is my judge badge, okay? I'm not trying to impress you, okay? But this got me in places because I had legal permission to go, okay? This is my judge badge when I was working as a judge, all right? If I were a policeman he shows you a badge. Well, that's fine. You have the legal permission, right? That's important. But you need to have power with that, or else your policeman can't do his job. Okay? All right. Badges are legal permission. Okay? Did Satan have any authority over the earth granted to him by God? He did not. But how could Satan get authority even though he didn't get it from God? What would Satan have to do to get some authority so he can operate in this earthly realm with his residual power? He still has power. I'll show you a verse that shows that. Okay? He needs to deceive someone. He needs to trick someone. He needs, through fraud or stealth or trickery or being wily, he needs to get it from somebody who legally does have the authority. Get it? That's Genesis chapter 3 on steroids. It's called the fall. And so you got to strip away somehow the legal permission to operate in your demonic power. And what did Adam and Eve do? What'd they do? When they got deceived, when they got tricked, okay, this is what happened in the power structure. And this is why we live in a fallen world. That's why we had Afghanistan this last horrible week. They handed over voluntarily their authority to a fallen angel who has no right, no permission, no authority by God to even operate here. You see what happened? It blew everything up. And I'm not, this is not a cherry bomb. This is a nuclear bomb. And we're living it every week. Hey, how's your COVID test? You know, got a mask on today, you know? Everyone lives in fear. Fear is not just an emotion, it's a spirit. But God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. What's the antidote to fear? Perfect love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Are we living that? No. A lot of us aren't. And we need to start doing that to say, wait, you have no authority here. All right, so you remember that group that was shocked about, hey, we were doing all this great stuff for you? Well, we Christians have been given authority, okay? But we want power. Why do we want power? Because legal permission is fine, but you want the resources to carry out your legal authority, right? Okay. Now, there are bridges that connect us to different sources of power. We've already established that Satan already has some residual power even after the fall, okay? So, if I want to go out and I want to be used of God, and I get all energized and I read this book and I say, okay, God, let's move. Let's do this stuff, right? It's got to be under his rules where he says, I need precise obedience. Okay? If I obey God, what type of power do I get? Divine power. Right? But if I decide I want a quick way to get some power, but I don't want to obey, it takes a lot longer. It's harder. I have to be patient sometimes to wait on God. I don't get my way. I can throw a tantrum, and sometimes I still don't get my way. I think I might want to take a shortcut and go get from a fallen angel who can disguise himself. Who can disguise himself as an angel of light. That's what Corinthians tells us, right? And I'm going to go shortcut this, and I'm just going to go get some other power that's too and is available. What do I do? This is what happened to that Matthew 7:21 crowd. They thought they were on fire for God. They thought God should have been impressed. That's what they thought. And they were shocked when he said, hey, I don't even know you guys. Why? Because you didn't come to me on this obedience bridge. So if you want real, actual, legitimate, blessed experiences in the kingdom, you've always got to say, thy will be done in everything I think, everything I think, everything I say, and everything I do. It's that micro. Yes, it is. It's that precise. Yes, it is. And any shortcuts to get demonic power, okay? I'm not sure God really wants me to do this, but man, I'm on fire and I'm going to do it anyway. I hear that in a lot of churches. I do. Okay, I got 2 more minutes. Let's go to the next slide, please. Where's the next slide in the PowerPoint? This is where he reauthorizes authority in mankind. Write this verse down. Okay, let's look at the verse. When Jesus came back, he reauthorizes us. There it is, Luke 10, 17 through 20. Let's read it real quick. The 70 came back jubilant. Lord, they said, with your power, even the demons submit to us. Go. Yeshua said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Hey, that's pretty cool. Now we've got power over the fallen angels. Go. Remember, I have, here. Remember, this is to the 70, I have given you authority so you can trample down snakes and scorpions and indeed all of the enemies, go, forces. Okay, in the New King James, it says power, over all of the enemy's power, and you will remain completely unharmed. All right? That's the reauthorization that Jesus comes at. Say, hey, my dad gave it to you in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. You guys blew it because you got deceived. You handed your authority over. Now I'm reauthorizing you. I'm giving you your badge back. And it's over all of the power of the enemy. Go to the next verse, please, the next slide. Go to the next one. I want to show real quick this 1 Samuel quote. And it's out of 1 Samuel. And then I've got to wrap it up. You got it, guys? It's on John's PowerPoint. It's the next slide down. It's a quoted verse, but it's inside a box. Okay, basically, I'll tell you what it is. When Saul, there it is. Okay, so this is Samuel confronting Saul after he doesn't kill the king. And he leaves the animal still alive, right? Samuel said, does Adonai take much pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying what Adonai go says? Surely obeying is better than sacrifice and heeding orders than the fat of the rams. Keep going. For rebellion is like the sin of sorcery. You know what it says in the New King James? Witchcraft. If we don't obey God and we want power and we want that shortcut to go get the demonic power, even though I have my badge, guess what? I've just been labeled a warlock or a witch or a sorcerer. That's how serious it is when God says, that's why Jesus reacted the way he did when that group came up and said, don't you know who we are? We're really important. And he goes, hey, I'll tell you how important you are. This never changes. Stubbornness is like the crime of what? What did we talk about in our worship service today? Get rid of the idols. You're going into the presence of God. Slay them. They'll kill you. You have authority to kill these idols that are distractions, anything that keeps you away from a deeper relationship with God. Okay? Stubbornness like the crime of adultery because you have rejected the word of, go, Adonai, he too has rejected you. Oh, hey, there goes his vocation. Poof. Poof. Gone. You guys, I got to stop. But yes, I do. Okay, but here's the deal. I'm just going to say this one last thing. There's going to be a phony imitation move of God that's going to have all the signs and wonders out there. It's going to have fireworks. It's going to have miracles. And everyone's going to say, that must be God. And if you don't hear the core of what that movement is to say, look, obedience is life. If we don't obey, we're good as dead because we're separated from God. When you separate from God, you are dead. And it's going to be, listen, the enemy's not stupid. He's very crafty. He's really good at this stuff of deceiving us. And we have to be on our guard. All right, we'll end up with prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for this understanding the rules of the game. We thank you for what you're doing, that you're advising us, you're warning us, and you're telling us that we have a higher, higher calling, a kingdom calling. But Lord, in order to carry out faithfully that kingdom calling, obedience has got to be the center question every time we think or say or do something in your name. So right now we say, change us from within. And Lord, teach us how to take every thought captive under the obedience of Christ. Teach us that every idle word we say will actually be accounted for. So help us pray. How about this? We're going to end with this. I think this is what the Lord is saying to everyone here. Pray before you speak. And that means all the time. I'm going to go back and say that again. Pray, you hearing? Before you speak. Get permission. God, do you want me to say this? Is this okay? Hallelujah. Adonai will provide every resource, every weapon in Yeshua's name. And he will send us the Ruach HaKodesh. We don't pray directly to the Ruach HaKodesh. We don't do that. We ask Papa in Jesus' name to send him. Follow the protocols. There are protocols on how to pray. All right? God bless you guys.
Amen. 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 Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Earl. Thank you, Earl. We're going to wrap it up, but something God put on my heart. Some of you may know about a car called a Pantera. Pantera was one of the big-time race cars. It was like, woo, super, super expensive. Wow car, okay? Pantera. I'm old school Pantera, okay? They made a plastic fiberglass body that looked exactly like the Pantera. And if you took the body off of a Volkswagen, you could slap this thing bolted down, and people watching down the freeway go, "Guy, that guy's got a Pantera." But it was a Volkswagen. Divine power versus demonic power. You can look it, but do you have it? Father, for those who are out there right now online, we also ask, do you know Yeshua as your Lord and Savior? It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter where you're going. It doesn't matter if you're sitting there in the demonic powers or in the... It really doesn't matter. What matters is, are you going to leave that, as April sang the song earlier, the cloud, are you going to step into the cloud that is Yeshua? So right now, wherever you are, if you heard Earl's message, and more importantly, if you heard the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit speaking through, this is a day of salvation. All you need to do is to understand who he is, the Most High God, that he went to that cross for every sin that has ever happened. Not just some sins, not, but wait a minute, John, I got a really bad sin. Sorry, he got that covered. Receive the free gift. Release the sin. Acknowledge it, but release it. And then walk in eternal life. And eternal life is to obey the commandments of my Father. We pray this now. And we ask blessing on all that will leave now and for the rest of this day and this week, and the blessings that will come upon Rabbi and Darcy as they return. We pray it now in the precious name, the matchless name, the amazing name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Bless you all. See you all later.
Thanks for joining us this week. Make sure to visit our website, treeoflifeca.org, and be sure to subscribe to the show in iTunes, Google, Spotify, or via RSS so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you've found value in this show, we'd appreciate a ratings on iTunes. or simply tell a friend about the show. That would help us out too. If you like this show, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Tree of Life Messianic Jewish Congregation, to see more content, including our weekly live stream. Be sure to tune in for our next episode as we continue to explore our Jewish roots through Scripture.